Welcome to the Crosslands Church podcast. Our mission, to help you experience the life with God you've been missing. And now, a message for you.
Well, good morning. It's nice to see people in the building, as Wade said earlier. And I also want to welcome everybody that is joining us online. And just a quick reminder, if you're here in person, that we are required to maintain social distancing on this property. That also includes the parking lot. And I know sometimes, you know, we don't like it, but the reality is that if we don't maintain that, we don't really want to have to police it, then we are liable by our insurance company, and we're also liable to the bylaw officer if that kind of thing is happening. So I'm just asking that you would, you know, exert self-discipline when it comes to that. We are required to wear masks in the building, and we've said that for months on the live stream. Our policy states that at this point, this is according to York Region government, York Region's requirements, and so the only exceptions we have is on the stage and in the sound booth. And at the end of the service, if you're here in person, we will be dismissing by row. I remember when the government first allowed churches to meet in person, a lot of churches had the stuff in place for everybody to come in, but not to leave. And so everybody massed into the aisles to leave. And so we're just gonna be watching that a little carefully. So we will conclude the online service, and then we'll do the dismissing, starting from the back and going to the front, sort of the opposite of a wedding. So we're starting a new series, as Mariah mentioned. And if I could describe 2020 in two words, I might use the words not ideal. So, I mean, there's a lot of bad things going on in the world. Just a couple of days ago, there was a boy that a 15-year-old was missing in Bradford over a week, and they found him after a week, and apparently he had drowned in a local pond. And your heart goes out to the family. A couple of days ago, there was an attack in a church in France. It was a religiously motivated attack, and I think two people died and five others ended up, or three people died. Yesterday there was an Orthodox priest, again in France, who was shot twice in the abdomen, and his injuries are serious. There's a typhoon, an annual typhoon that's hitting the Philippines and threatening to devastate it. Last night there was an attack on Halloween night in Quebec City, and some wacko in armor stabbed, I think, seven people. Two of them were killed and five of them in the hospital. And then we have all the things that we are dealing with on a daily basis. We're stuck at home in COVID. If you have kids, you're trying to teach your kids at home, or sending them to school and having them come back, and it's less than ideal. People are struggling with work. People are struggling to keep their businesses open as York Region goes back into phase two. And then there's little things that happen all the time. Your appliances break down. You need to send your car to the shop. All this stuff still happens, and it wears on you. These are the trials we go through, the big things and the little things. Where do these come from, all these trials? I think it comes from three different places. The first one is we live in a broken world. What that means is that we as human beings can't just survive on our own in the world. We're subject to the elements, storms, weather, freezing, that's coming soon. Even, I mean, seriously, animal attack, right? We need shelter and clothes and all of that to protect ourselves. If we didn't have all that stuff, we would just die out in the wilderness. That's the first thing. We struggle in a broken natural world. The second thing we struggle against, the second place that trials come from, is malevolence, whether that be human or spiritual. You think about the guy in Quebec City. There's a malevolence there that there are people out to destroy people. We see that manifested in violence, but you also see it manifested in office politics. People undermining one another, spreading rumors. And then we also reap the negative results of our own attitudes, actions, and behaviors. And all of these three things combine together. Sometimes we can't even tell what the root of a particular trial is, because maybe my car broke down because I didn't maintain it properly. So is that the broken world or is it my own actions? These things all meld together and we just go through stuff. We're going to take a look at what the Bible says today, and today is a very introductory message. We're going to really flesh this out over the next few weeks. But the first thing I want to read today is Romans 8:18 says this, "Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he will reveal to us later." That's God will reveal glory to us later. What we're suffering now is temporary. It could read, "is not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed later." And then later on, 10 verses later, and this is a very familiar passage to many people, Romans 8:28, we know that God causes everything to work together. Or it could be translated, everything works together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. There's two parts to that. Those who love God and are called according to his purpose. The context there is that God's Spirit is praying with us. So Paul, writing this letter, has been talking about the suffering in the world, that all of creation is groaning, awaiting God's revelation of his glory, and we are stuck in the trials. We don't know what to do. We don't even know how to pray sometimes, but God's Spirit prays with us. He prays through us. He even prays for us. Because what we are living in right now, there's sort of a theological phrase, and you would learn this in a Bible college or seminary, and the phrase is describing God's kingdom, it's now and not yet. Jesus came to earth to reveal who God was, to reveal who God is. God himself putting on human flesh, and he went to his death on the cross and rose again to inaugurate God's kingdom on earth. And we look around and there's still headlines and bad things going on. Why? Because God's kingdom is here. Jesus said the kingdom is among you or within you, but it is not fully here. So we live in the now and the not yet. This is what Mariah was just talking about. We have the good things we experience from God's kingdom, and we have the bad things. Romans 8, 29 and 30, and this is the two verses after the one I just read, said, for God knew his people in advance. He's talking about you. God knew you in advance and chose them to become like his son. Now, there's a lot to unpack here because God's son is the complete image of the Father, the image of God. What that means is that Jesus came as a restoration of God's original intention. Mariah and Victoria were talking about God created Adam and Eve, and they're in the garden. They were created in God's image, and everything was good, and everything was perfect, but that image was broken, and Jesus came to reveal once again what God's image was to be, what God's image is, and that's what he's calling each one of us to, that restoration of God's original intention. God created us to be like his son, to be the image of God, okay, so that his son would be the firstborn, or the supreme, among many brothers and sisters. Once again, he's talking about us. God created us to be his family, and having chosen them, us, he called them to come to him, and having called them, he gave them right standing with himself. The traditional word for that is justification. You have been made right. You've been brought from the category of not guilty, or you've been brought from the category of guilty to not guilty. You were in right standing with God, and having given them right standing, he gave them his glory. Glory is a concept that we don't really talk about today. Back in the ancient world, it was a huge thing. Glory was everything. Everything from reputation to status to acknowledgement to be right. These are the winners. The winners in the world are the ones that have glory, and people would strive for this because it would your glory would live on long after your death. And there's that end goal, from suffering to glory. What we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. Jesus has God's glory. He's revealed to be the rightful ruler in a way that is counter to the way the world does things. So God's kingdom is now, and God's kingdom is not yet. And 2020 really feels like it's leaning a lot farther into the not yet than the now. So many things going wrong. And what happens when we experience that is we start to ask questions. We ask questions like, why is this happening? Did I do something to deserve this? What is the point of all this? Is there a purpose in this? In some situations, we may never get specific answers to the trials we go through. But in spite of all those questions, there is one underlying question that each one of us needs to resolve for ourselves. Each one of us needs to come to the right conclusion. And the question is, throughout all this, is God good? When you have the right answer to that question, you can go through anything. In fact, one of the biggest attacks on the existence of God questions the goodness of God because of all the stuff that happens in the world. And so it's a question that we need to engage with, if not in the big picture, then certainly in our individual lives. And there's a counterintuitive solution. There's a counterintuitive answer to that question. And that is the story of Christianity, the story of Jesus. Jesus, the Messiah, God's chosen one, God himself with human flesh on, willingly and deliberately entered into the path of suffering for a higher aim. He didn't shy away from it. Why would he do that? Because God has two ultimate purposes. The first one is to make everything right. Whatever is wrong in the world right now, God's purpose is to make it right. The second purpose is to live in relationship with us, with you, forever. Sounds simple, but there's a problem there. Because these two things are at cross purposes with one another. For God to make everything right, well, at some level, we're part of the problem, and the problem is within us. So God can make everything right now by just eliminating humans. But his second purpose is to live in relationship with us. So how does God accomplish both of those things at the same time? That is the coming of Jesus. To solve the problem of evil without eradicating humanity. We are both the source and sufferers of much evil. The world says might makes right. Overpower, dominate. The problem with that is that that just perpetuates the problems. We live in a world right now where everything is framed in terms of power and who's the oppressor and who's the victim. And there's a move to take the victims and make them the new oppressors, which results in a new generation of victims. And it's just a cycle that goes on and on and on. It's unending. And we've seen this throughout history, that the underdogs become the emperors of the next generation. You can't just keep doing that over and over and over and expect a different result. The path to destroy evil without destroying humans is through trials and sufferings, and that's the path that Jesus took. I'm going to read a few verses out of Hebrews 12. And this is what it says. Let us run with endurance the race that God has set for us. How do we do that? We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion who initiates or originates and perfects our faith. Why? Because of, or it could be translated instead of, the joy awaiting him, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. We've talked before about the cross. We tend in our culture to look at the cross as a source of pain, but the purpose of the cross was to shame, to degrade the individual. Jesus endured the cross, disregarding its shame. Now he is seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. There's a strong reference there to Psalm 110, verse 1. It says, here is the Lord's proclamation to my Lord. Sit down at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. It's a messianic promise that God's chosen one would sit at his right hand. The next verse says, think of all the hostility he endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. Oh, it's so easy to become weary and give up, especially these days with all different kinds of trials that we face. But when we look to Jesus and see what he went through, and not just what he went through, because I think sometimes there's a burden of shame or guilt that comes on us when we think, look at everything Jesus did for us. But it isn't just what he went through, it's the end goal. Through the suffering, through the shame, is glory at the end. That's the point. And if we bear the name of Jesus, we can expect to walk the same path. We will experience trials. How do we triumph in our trials? Here's the context. Here's the context for today. We tend to be very short-sighted in terms of our geography and our history. We tend to be very aware of what's going on our street, in our town, in our country, and probably way too aware of what's going on below the border, just south of us. But what happens in the world? The early church was the persecuted church. The early church was originally persecuted by the Jews, the Jews that didn't become followers of Jesus. Then they were very soon after that started, they were persecuted by the Roman Empire. And in our European heritage, if you're of European extraction, which has strongly informed our culture in North America, at a certain point, the church became in a position of power. And there were all kinds of positive and negative consequences that came out of that. But in the rest of the world, that's really kind of the minority, because throughout the world, for the majority of it, Christianity has been persecuted to the point that since Jesus' death and resurrection, over 43 million people had been killed specifically because of their Christian faith. And the majority of those 43 million were in the last century alone. The trajectory of following Jesus is a trajectory, it's the path through suffering, through trials, but to glory at the end. So we are in the now and the not yet. God's purpose in this is not to make you happy. God's purpose is not even to make you holy as an end goal in itself. God's purpose is to make you useful and effective in bringing about his purpose for the world, being in relationship with you and making things right. And so, in all of this, don't make any mistake about this. God's love for you is unconditional. There's nothing you can do to make God love you less, and there's nothing you have to do to make God love you more. His love for you is complete and unconditional. He created you to love you. But he didn't create you to be weak. He didn't commission you to do nothing. And it sounds kind of utilitarian. Well, God made you to be useful or just a tool in his hands. But he made you for a relationship. He has a purpose, and in his purpose, he enlists every one of us. He calls us into his purpose to be his people, to be his partners in his purposes. And we'll talk about how that happens specifically in the next couple of weeks. Whatever you're going through, God's not surprised about where you are. God's not anxious about where you are. He's not unaware of it. He knows exactly where you are right now and what you're dealing with. Whatever struggles you're going through, whatever trials you're facing, be they huge, monumental, catastrophic, or just those little things that irritate you day by day. He has a purpose. He enlists you. He's not surprised with where you are, and he makes it possible for each one of us to be faithful to him regardless of the circumstances. And we're going to talk about how we do that. I'm going to take a little bit of a break in the message today. We're going to finish a little bit differently, but maybe you're watching, maybe you're here, and maybe you've heard a lot of messages about following Jesus, and you've never become a follower of Jesus, and there's something about the challenge. It seems odd to invite somebody into a path of suffering, but there's something real about that. And maybe you're going, I've always been skeptical about the only good news. But to understand that there's a very difficult life that we've been called to live, and that's resonating with you, and you know that you've been living in weakness, not accomplishing what you're supposed to accomplish, not living the character that you could be living out, and Jesus is the only one that makes that possible for you. And so I want to invite you into the path of suffering to glory at the end that God created you for, that you would walk in relationship with him. And it's as simple as we say this every week, it's as simple as ABC. It's not an easy thing, but it's the most important decision you'll ever make. The A stands for admit. I'm not living the life I should be living. I have not been able to do it on my own. I've realized I can't do it on my own. To acknowledge that there is a higher purpose to which you are called. That's the A. The B is to believe. That there is a glory at the end of the path that Jesus followed, his death and resurrection, it isn't just a model, it's also the means by which we come into relationship with God. So believe that, put your trust in it, and then the C is to commit, to say no to the useless life with all of its tiny and illegitimate goals, and say yes to the purpose to which God has called you. To walk into effectiveness in a love relationship with your Creator who made you to love you. And so ABC, acknowledge, believe, commit. Give him your full allegiance. And if that's the decision that you need to make today for the first time, I just want to lead you in a prayer. It's a simple prayer. Just follow my words, make them your own, or even repeat them if you want. Father, I thank you that you are calling me to a meaningful life. I admit that the life I'm doing my own is not cutting it. And I am choosing to trust and to believe in the path that Jesus has laid out through his death and resurrection and to follow in his footsteps. And I want to commit to that. And so, Father, I'm giving my life to you today. In Jesus' name, amen. And if this is something that you are praying today for the very first time, I want you to connect with us because this is not a spiritual journey that you can make on your own. We are called to do this together. So if you were to go onto a computer or a smart device or whatever, go to crosslands.live, give us your contact info, and we'll give you next steps. How do we do this? How do we do this together? And I don't know if this is a coincidence or not, but today we're gonna close our service with a very special prayer. Across Canada today, churches are praying for the persecuted church around the world. Today is the day of prayer for the persecuted church. According to an organization called Christians in Crisis International Ministry, which is a prayer advocacy ministry for persecuted believers, there are 200 million people that are facing persecution right now for believing in Jesus. Everything from disenfranchisement, no customers for your business, alienated from your family, to actually physical threat. People are getting beat up, people are getting killed for being followers of Jesus. And as much as we endure all kinds of trials as followers of Jesus in Canada, most of us don't face anything like that. But these are our brothers and sisters. This is our family around the world. And so we're just gonna take a moment to pray for them. Next week when we do part two of this, we're gonna share a story of somebody in our church who has come from a country where this has happened. I did a Zoom interview from him, and we'll show some clips from that next week. But this is very real, and it's happening right now. So if you're at home, I would welcome you to stay in whatever position that you want that's comfortable. But if you're here in the service today, I'm gonna invite you to stand with me as we pray for our brothers and sisters around the world that are struggling with fierce persecution. And so, Father, we acknowledge that we go through all kinds of trials. We go through all kinds of challenges as human beings and as followers of you. But Father, we want to remember today our brothers and sisters around the world that are facing serious persecution, that are facing threats of violence, that are facing loss of property, that even face martyrdom. And Father, I pray this morning, and we agree together, that you would infuse them with the hope that only you can give. I pray, Lord, for each one that you would give them courage and you would give them strength in what they're facing. Father, I pray that you would affirm to them how much you love them in these times. Father, I pray that you would give them the ability and the courage to share your gospel, your good news, and to fearlessly tell others about Jesus. And Father, as much as we don't understand in a very real way what they're going through, because we're just not there, Father, we extend our love and compassion and solidarity with them. And Father, as much as we are made effective in our trials, I pray that you would make them effective in their trials. Father, may you shine your light through them in a way that just goes beyond human understanding. In Jesus' name, amen.
You've been listening to the Crosslands Church podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes or the Google Play Store so that it comes straight to your device. And to find out more about Crosslands Church, you can visit us at crosslands.ca. Join us next week for another message to help you experience the life with God you've been missing.